you out of your minds? Are you out of your minds? Are you all out of your mind? Your mind.
And to the C students, I say, you too can be president of the United States.
Kissing cousin. Hey, there's nothing. I mean, I don't really think the virus is a problem of marrying first cousin.
So they all go vegan and wages and picket lines. I don't know. They're not often discussed in purgatory, are they?
I would not, could not, with a goat.
I think the problem with people like this is that they are so stupid that they have no idea how stupid they are.
Welcome to the Crab Diving Show with your hosts, Ryan Pfeiffer and Patrick Vile.
Happy Thursday, everybody. It's Crab Diving Live, rocketing at you from Los Angeles, California, Koreatown, US of A. It's a little bit after 2 p.m. out here on the Pacific Coast. A wee little sea hair after 5 if your ear holes are sucking us in out east. If it ain't that time, then you're listening to us possibly as a rerun here on the Crab Diving Network 24/7, or you've downloaded us as a podcast at iTunes and at Stitcher, where you've, of course, left an amazingly glowing review and lots of fucking stars. But you can also go to crabdiving.com. Don't forget, we're going to be here for the next couple of hours hurling at you. My name's Patrick Vile.
Don't forget me when I'm gone. Who sang that? Do you remember that song?
Yeah.
Is that 80s?
Yeah,
heart will break. It was some dumbass super group. It was like, oh, I'm Ryan Pfeiffer. Thanks for listening to the show. It was like a super group. Super. It was like two guys.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Do you remember that song?
I remember the song, absolutely. I don't remember who it was.
So many great artists from the 80s have been forgotten, you know?
Right.
Nobody knows. Now everybody's about this Bieber and shit.
Marginalized.
Yeah. No, there was no auto-tuning in the 80s, right?
No.
Yeah, people just had to sing. Imagine that, kids.
Well, maybe in the 80s they had shenanigans, but
not
as much as they do now.
Oh, yeah.
We are going to be here for the next couple hours. Like I said, if you want to communicate with us while we are on the show, you can tweet us at crabdiving, one word. You can also head over to facebook.com/crabdiving.
Like us, share us, thumbs it up.
And we kind of sort of almost keep our eyes on that one
little
bit more than we do here at the Twitter thing. Lots going on. Of course, we're going to get to the amazing shit show yesterday afternoon. During yesterday's show, go to crabdiving.com. We cut in a little bit to the live feed of the children's table at the debates for the GOP debates with Lindsey Graham and Pataki and Santorum and Piyush Jindal.
Yes.
All.
Why does he go by Bobby? Why not Piyush? You think?
Why doesn't Barack Obama? Barack should have gone by like Bill.
Yeah, not getting rid of that middle name was fucking nuts.
What about Barack?
He should have. Yeah. What about it? He should have been Bill Obama, and
right.
He should have.
Jindal's getting away with it. Nobody says anything.
Barack Obama should do whiteface,
which is fine. But can you imagine if it had been Obama? If Obama did go by Bill,
oh yeah,
they'd be like, his real name's Barack.
It doesn't matter what Barack Obama would have done. Those fucking idiot racists are like, he's black.
I plan on raging quite well about one of these freaking racists in a little while.
Oh, yeah?
Ted fucking Nugent. Did you see that dried hyena jizz stain just said?
He's a dipshit.
Oh,
man.
God, he's
such
heinous.
A fucking idiot.
On the board of the NR Cunting A.
Is he on the board?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's on their board. And they should be so fucking proud with what that diaper stain is running around saying. Talking about that girl. Oh, fuck it. Let's get to it. He was talking about that girl.
No.
That got thrown around in that desk.
Did he have a shitty, like, Raven Simone?
What did she say about it?
I don't know. She said her behavior wasn't very Raven or something. the girl's behavior wasn't very raven. So she
had to have the shit beaten out of her and be flung across the.
What an asshole she is, huh?
So Ted Nugent on the board.
Fuck you.
Said. He wrote a screed for WND, that pillar of journalistic fuckwattitude.
I mean, is it even journalistic, the WMD?
N.
WND? You're wrong all the time.
WND, yeah, World Net Daily, also...
Chemtrails.
I don't know how we can disparage it when they publish stories... Basically saying that the blood moon means that Jesus is going to come and whip out his laser eyesight and
whipping out,
take out the whole fucking planet.
Look at my Christ dick.
So over at my computer's being
cunty,
profoundly cuntingly slow.
Mine was being irritating as well. Shame on you, Gateway.
So, yeah, I don't know. I guess we can't. Nothing is happening on my computer right now. I think we're still going out.
The Ted Nugent was what he said. Was it racist or
he said animal?
Was it pervy? Oh, he calls her an animal.
Something to the effect of, if you act like an animal, you'll be treated like a. Here we go. Finally.
Yay.
National Rifle Association board member, Ted Nugent.
Dee 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 dee. Fuck you. Dead.
Wrote in his regular column at WND.
I got your regular column.
a huge nuge thank you and salute, all in capitals, to Columbia, South Carolina, Senior Deputy Ben Fields.
Okay, Ted Nugent is officially a dick. He's officially a dick. Well, he's been a dick for a while, but this is particularly heinous. This is a kid. He's talking about a kid. He's calling a kid an animal.
Well, it's a black one. So it's okay to Ted.
What a dick.
He says, you know, that master of improvise, adapt, and overcome. Good citizen cop. All good Americans have come to admire and respect. Who yanked the Spring Valley High School defiant brat out of her classroom desk and dragged her kicking and squealing like the disobedient punk she is.
Do you think he's kidding?
No, he's not kidding.
God, who the fuck would say that? Hey, Ted, what if it was your kid? I know it's tough, you conservative.
My kid wouldn't sit there being black.
Well, yeah.
That's what he'd have to say.
Oh, absolutely.
My kid wouldn't disobey.
What an asshole, man. I got to tell you the reaction to this whole thing. It's kind of startling. I mean, I don't know how anyone could come out on the wrong side of this. I mean, you're looking at a child being abused.
Finally, somebody did the right thing and gave the poor child a dose of reality that will probably save her life.
How would that save her life? It almost killed her.
What is wrong with these people that
you watch that video and I'm so...
That her sitting there being disrespectful and disobeying... warrants that violent response. I want to follow Ted Nugent's vile little crotch spawn around.
Does he have
kids?
The
second one of those little shit bags jaywalks, let's grab some clubs and beat the little fuck out of those assholes. which I wouldn't, of course, because I'm not a violent, disgusting, heinous, lowlife cankle on society like this asshole is.
You are not Ted Nugent. I mean, you know, man.
Somebody should do it to him, though.
Yeah.
I wouldn't care if somebody.
He's such a dick.
If somebody decided that Ted Nugent, you know, needed some discipline. Let's find the skeletons in Nugent's closet.
Oh, jeez.
And issue him some discipline.
Well, they're not even in his closet. I mean, read his fucking lyrics.
Shit
to
himself.
His music.
He shit himself to get out of numb.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah, it's in his book. He didn't shower for a week and went to the recruiting station and shit himself. And they decided he was crazy and mentally ill. So he
didn't
go to numb.
God, he admits to faking that. Yeah. Oh, my God. I mean, read some of his lyrics, though. They're all like pervy. They're like, glorifying pedophilia and shit like that.
Oh, you mean jailbait? That's subtle.
Hey, if you're in the NRA, man, I mean, how do you feel about writing? I don't know. You write your check every month for dues, or you pay a lifetime fee. This is what your money's going to. This is the guy on your fucking board. How do you feel about that?
He says, this is where it gets creepy. If you have been, he goes on to, it's just the most racist thing I've ever read. None of my family members would attack a neighborhood watch volunteer and end up getting shot and killed. That's Trayvon and George Zimmerman.
Yeah.
None of my children would steal anything from a store and then assault the shopkeeper. That's Michael Brown. None of my children would defy orders from a cop, assault him, attempt to steal his gun, then attack him and get shot in self-defense. Pick one. I don't know which one he's specifically talking about.
God.
None of the Nugent family would sell illegal cigarettes and then violently resist arrest.
Did you see the video? Violently.
Eric Garner, hands up in the air. Hands up in the air saying, stop choking me, is violently resisting arrest. None of my children would disobey a directive from a teacher or any school authority figure.
Jeez, man. It's just like we don't have any. There's no hope. I mean, for people like that, people like Ted Nugent, here's what we can hope for. He dies soon.
Yeah.
He's got so much hate.
The kindness level in the universe will leave.
He'll have a heart attack. You know? He's so angry.
If you've been allowed to disrespect and ignore authority your entire pathetic, unruly, undisciplined life.
Shit.
By the way, this girl we found out is recently been put into the foster system because her mother died and she's just recently left an orphan.
Right. Oh my God. That's just fucking heartbreaking.
And this, I mean, just loathsome subhuman says your entire pathetic, unruly, undisciplined life. What a vile, I can't think of any adjectives disgusting enough to describe Ted Nugent.
Don't you think at the very least at school, when you see a kid acting out as a teacher, somebody in charge, don't you have to think, well, where did that kid come from today? You know, what's their home life like? I mean, there's so many reasons a kid can have, what do you want, bad behavior at school. You know, and I don't think any of it, there's just no fucking empathy. That is heartbreaking.
You have been tragically trained to be a troublemaker, and at some point you will hit a dead-end brick wall and you will deserve it. Obey! And everything will go smoothly. Obey, and you won't get beat. Obey, and you won't get maced. Obey, and they won't stun gun you. Obey, and you won't get shot. Obey, and you won't get ripped from your desk and put under control. Act like an animal, and you will end up being treated like an animal. Well, I think you're acting like an animal, so I think we should treat Ted Nugent like a subhuman animal that he is.
Why don't we put him in a desk, pick him up, throw him face down, and see how that feels? I mean, that girl is, we're lucky that girl's not dead. I mean, the way she was handled by that gigantic oaf.
But apparently she would have deserved it, Ryan, for not obeying, according to Ted Nugent.
This poor fucking guy, Eric Garner, was selling cigarettes. Who gives a flying fuck? You live in the middle of New York City, and that's what the cops give a shit about. The guy was fucking dying, and they didn't do anything for him. They just fucking killed him. I don't think most people feel like Ted Nugent. I mean, God, I hope not. God, I just pray to the flies.
Allow me to scroll down to the comments WND. Ted is right. These brats don't want rules to apply to them. And then the adults throw cops under the bus.
I'll be 50 this January. I can't even imagine behaving even remotely as bad as kids today.
Jeez, shut up, you fucking asshole white fucker.
Too bad the floppy-eared clown in the White House would rather hang with thuggish rap artists instead of an old-school rocker like you, Mr. Nugent.
Do people say Obama has floppy ears? Oh,
this one says, put me on the jury. The officer's not guilty. The officer should have never lost his job. I hope someone gives this officer a job. How much crap should people take from these disrespectful students who should not be in school?
Let me guess, all these people are writing from a state that's a negative. They don't make any money, and the rest of us have to, we have to bail out, you racist, ignorant fucks.
Right.
Losers. No offense.
Let's see. She hit him first. If he were still an officer, she could be charged with assaulting the police officer.
She hit him first.
He is a peace officer, you moron.
Well, I mean, what the fuck? She's a child. Listen.
If he'd been black or Muslim, we would have heard of this news item.
Oh, my God.
This is the
mentality of the readers.
You're saying people don't agree with him. I have yet to come across. There's hundreds of comments here.
But you're looking at a subset. Are you reading the WND article? Well, read it. Not read a HuffPo article. Fuck this. That's not how most people feel. That's how most of those fucking assholes
This girl
feel.
Knew exactly what she was doing. She's now famous. A hero among her peers. P-E-I-R-S. She will win a lawsuit and end up rich. Have a few babies by a few dozen sperm donors. D-O-A-N-E-R-S.
Ah, there you go.
End up on welfare and live happily ever after.
How much you want to bet some of these people are on welfare?
Those who fired Fields, are communist, Muslim, trash, Obama robots.
Communist, Muslim, trash, Obama robots. Beady, 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 beady. Fuck you, Ted. Man,
this person. This person wants to get all North Korea, where if you do something wrong, they throw your whole family in prison camp. I am sick and tired. Let me read this the way this should be read. I'm sick and tired of people thinking that they have the right to abuse what is given at the expense of others.
Yeah.
This girl's family should be held accountable for her criminal actions.
Oh, my
her
God.
Her family should be held accountable.
Why?
What is wrong with half?
Because I see. Because she thinks that's how she was raised.
Well, because her they're black, Ryan.
Well,
they're black.
Yes. And by the way, you unfeeling bastards, her family, her mother's dead, and she's in the foster system. What do you think that's like?
Bernie Madoff. Oh, Sandusky. Why don't we, let's drag a whole herd of white privileged Sanduskies to jail because obviously something in his family was wrong that raised him to fuck little boys in the shower at Penn Cunting State. Asshole, you fucking. Oh, my God. Right. These people are beyond loathsome. God.
I don't mean to change
vile
the subject,
creatures.
And think about.
And they all go to church on Sunday.
Oh, sure. Think about the state of Pennsylvania. What's up with the sports people there? You got Michael Vick, you got Raeflesberger, and then you got Sandusky. You guys got
it's
a lot
going
of
well there.
You got to figure some shit out, you pervs.
Tweet us during the show at Crab Diving. Join in. Nugent is a subhuman whiskey swilling fuck punk. Has been of a deflated wrinkle bag, so called rock shitter.
Rock shitter.
It's the best tweet we will get today, ladies and gentlemen, on our crab diving
I like
feed.
Fuck punk. Hey, you little fuck punk.
Oh, yeah, what the fuck? Ted Nugent is so fucking crazy. Obey, obey, obey. That one's from Maggie Strong, the host of Pretty Misandry, which, if you keep your ear holes pressed to whatever device you're using right now to listen to us live, a brand new sparkling episode will follow at 4 p.m. Pacific time.
Hashtag fuck all men.
Of Pretty Misandry.
No shit. I didn't mean fuck all men.
Whatever.
Don't fuck them all, you know, sure. Just a nice one.
Why not?
Kill all men.
Whatever you're into.
I fucked it up.
Ted Nugent's got me all fired up.
I just
can't. I read this this morning, and that whole it's like something you would read in a dystopian novel.
But you're outraged.
Orwellian. Obey.
But I got to tell you, your outrage is warranted and justified. Think about what he said.
Right.
That's horrible. It's the worst thing. That's the worst thing. He's blaming this girl for what happened when she's a student and the authority figure is the cop, the adult.
Right.
The adult is always supposed to behave like a fucking adult. So what? The girl was misbehaving, whatever that means, reading her phone when she shouldn't have been. Well, you know what? She's a fucking kid.
But she was misbehaving while black, right?
Oh, yes. Do you know how many white children I've witnessed misbehaving when I was at school? All of them. Most of them.
And I'm sure every single one of the little scrabbling pink vile creatures that crawled out of Mrs. Nugent's vagina. I'm sure they're all wonderful, beautiful, upstanding people.
Well, you know, for a little while, I went to school in the Allegheny Mountains in Virginia, near, and it was basically this community centered around this paper mill. And so you had people like living in Deliverance-ville, USA, up in the hills. I mean, we had some really interesting. It was a real culture shock living up there, but man, you saw some, I don't know, some poor, poor kids. And you know, I don't know. I was lucky. I always grew up. We were never poor. My mom, there's always a parent home. You know, I don't know what it would be like to not have that. And I can't believe, like, knowing, even, it shouldn't even, her background shouldn't matter. Her background should not fucking matter one bit. But God, knowing that she's, her mom died, she's in the foster system, God, it makes it worse. It makes this story worse. And the teacher and the cop, the teacher called the cop.
Right.
Did she not know what was going on in this girl's life? Could she not have some fucking empathy? She's on her cell phone when she shouldn't be. So what?
Right.
Get the fuck over it.
Respect my authority.
Don't you get paid as a teacher to fucking, I don't know.
There are people now who are using their brains and are actually saying, get the police out of schools. We don't need
these thugs.
We don't need the police in schools.
Not the way it is now. You don't.
Well, then you know what Ted Nugent would say. Well, look at all these 200-pound thugs running around. Look at this evil thuggess. Who was sitting there on her cell phone? Desrospecting the authority of what people?
It's just like, I don't know. If the idea is that at the end of someone's scholastic career in this country, they're supposed to be brought up to be like, you know, an adult with empathy that's supposed to be like a reasonably, you know, right. Nice person. Well, how does this accomplish that?
And they interviewed kid the morons, the knuckle draggers, are saying, well, you know, now those kids in that room are going to think twice about disrespecting authority.
Oh.
When in actuality, they interviewed these kids and these kids are all like, this man's a lunatic. He's a raging, violent lunatic. You're turning kids against the police by allowing Officer Roidface to beat the shit out of people indiscriminately. They called him Officer Slam, is what he was known as in the school, because he's known for throwing people around and violating rights.
Just think about, like, you know, sometimes children, the only decent meal they get, the only stability they have sometimes is going to school because their home life's so fucked up.
Right.
Imagine how these kids feel if they know that police officer could come in and quote unquote discipline them at any second. God, how does that feel? Are you living in fear throughout school? Do you know that's like a little sword of Damocles hanging over your fucking head? Right. Officer Fuckface can come in and beat the shit out of you.
Right.
I'll be back.
Absolutely crazy, ladies and gentlemen. We got a knock at the Crab Diving Studios doors here. We do have some more work going on here today with the electricians and stuff, so hopefully we won't be summarily shut off somewhere in the middle of our show. But to continue, this Nugent says, obey, you won't get ripped from your desk and put under control. Act like an animal, and you will end up being treated like an animal. So if there's any fucking...
The neighbor needs you to help her with her television. But I told her I explained that we were recording an internet radio show right now, that you could help her when the show's over.
At 4?
Yeah, I told her at 4.
Oh, okay.
She's the nicest lady on the planet, but she speaks, I'm sorry, I interrupted. I don't even know what you're talking about.
No, I was covering while you were gone.
0.0 English.
Not a lot.
Well, she speaks more English than I do Korean, so. But I was trying to explain to her what we were doing. It's impossible. We're recording an internet radio show right in here. What's it?
We're live. I mean, we're not only recording.
I know.
If we were just recording, we could pause.
Yeah.
And I could go fix your TV remote for you.
Well, I guess it can wait, right?
Well, I'm not going to run down there.
Yeah, you can do it. She's trying to get the neighbors to help.
So, that's what's going on with Ted fucking Nugent. Profound shit stain on asshole. We can see what's going on the headlines before we get into the wrapping up and talking about the absolute loony show yesterday.
Oh, my God. I can't wait.
That was the Republican debates.
For these mainstream media characters to get all wee-weed up about that.
From the Crab Diving News Studios, high atop the Crab Diving Tower, Los Angeles, California, Dateline, October the 29th, 2015.
The year of our Lord!
These are your headlines. Over at the commie, pinko, liberal,
hey,
Huffington the Post.
Fuck you!
The headline says, they can't handle the truth. With a photograph. Oh, well, I guess we're going to start talking about the Republican debate.
Oh, wow.
They can't handle the truth. You know, there are not a lot of facty kind of stuff. Oh. Not a lot of truthy,
God, no.
Facty, actual kind of stuff happening at the debate last night.
No,
in fact,
but there was a lot of self-righteousness.
Oh, so disgusting. and then just it's such an odd, in unfactual world, a narrative when they're like, all they did was talk about how the Democratic debate was just softball.
Yeah.
It was like a pillow fight.
Well, you know what I think it was? They were watching people kind of talk about issues.
Right.
And legislation and, I don't know, specific things. And there wasn't a lot of, hey, you're, like name calling. What do they do? The Republican
debate. Well, Trump said
bitching.
Kasich, his poll numbers are he's in last place. That's why he's way down there on the end.
Bernie Sanders. She wasn't making any jokes about Hillary's outfit.
So, yeah, Ted Cruz just launches into this. Man, the media, I can't believe you're asking us about this and this and this. Why aren't you asking us about substance? Man.
When can we talk about Benghazi?
So stupid.
Ted Cruz is a little fucking asshole. What a baby. Grow up, you shit fuck.
It works. You know, I flipped over after the debate. I flipped over to MSNBC and Chris Matthews is all butthurt.
Oh, yes.
Over this attack on the media. He's really pissed off because he's like, wait a minute. Every single person on that stage just about was whining about how the media doesn't like the Republicans and it's not fair and they just love Hillary.
Well, it's straight up pandering, right? Because all the people that are vote for Ted Cruz or Ben Carson or Trump, they're all like, that's right, liberal media hates
but
conservatives.
Exactly,
they're right on.
Exactly.
They're pandering
right.
Little dickheads.
And that's what a lot of the pundits were saying was that, you know, it's an easy win. It's like,
yes,
it's like yelling OH at an Ohio game. I mean, everybody knows it's an instant. Knee-jerk reaction.
It's feeding on this fucking thing that the...
Go team. Woo!
Yeah. The liberal, evil fucking media. Please.
Right. You sitting at home in your Barca lounger, in your trailer, hating on black people and terrified that the Mexicans are coming for your shit.
Bah.
And that the Muslims are going to come and flip you over and rape you and turn you into a Muslim.
Well, kind of dick.
They're all sitting there, and now they see all the other media out there that is telling them other things are kind of out there happening in the world.
Oh, yes.
But then these assholes say, nope, the media's lying to you.
I knew it! I knew it! They're right! I mean, why do they want... I don't know. Do you think the questions were really even that tough for these fucking idiots?
Well, some of them. I mean, I guess. Thought... They call the same thing they did to the Democrats because you know what? The Democrats aren't saying the shit like let's deport 11 million people.
Yeah.
The Democrats aren't saying shit that's not possible or not feasible.
Right.
They're just not.
The leader of the Republicans, I guess he's Ben Carson's the leader. Technically, it's not Trump anymore, right? Is Ben Carson ahead of Trump?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the guy in second place wants to build a fucking wall. And by the way, he's like, I built skyscrapers. Why can't I build a wall?
Right.
Good point, dickhead. Right. Build a wall. Protect us from the rapists, you simpleton.
So I guess they're fact-checking. And the headline says at the HuffPo, Flash and Fibs were GOP debate's big winners. In fact, today I saw some tape that it's just such crap. It's a lie. Carly Fiorina, who seems to be, that's her MO now.
Oh, she just lies.
Right. Oh.
She's citing these fucking fetal chop shop
There's
tapes.
No fact checking with her. She hears a rumor and it's 100% fact to her. And then you confront her on it and she blames the media.
This is
what she did fucking today. She said that Obama administration has been the worst on women because during Obama's term, 92% of the jobs that were lost in America belonged to women.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's just not true.
Oh, wow. I learned a lot.
PolitiFact called that one bullshit. False, false, false.
Thanks for playing. You lose.
And today, a CNN reporter was interviewing Fiorina and asked her, said, well, you know, it's just not true. It's just not true. And Fiorina said, this is the same thing you did to me after the first debate, saying that I said falsehoods. They're not false. They're 100% true. But the mainstream liberal media doesn't like my facts. There you go. I wash my hands of having to deal with facts and science and truth because, hey, I have to.
Her facts are lies.
They're not. Booga booga.
But every time you lie, they're going. The liberal, evil Hollywood fucking media is going to say, "Hey, what's up with this bullshit you said at the debate?"
Right?
They have to do that. What else is there? If you're a reporter, what else is there? If you can't call out bullshit, what are you supposed to do? Stand on your head?
Right. That's the job and
it's
all
the only job. It's the only fucking job
to almost all of them on the stage at one point or some or another whined about the media. There were a couple. I think Rubio,
a bunch of little bitches,
to give him credit. Rubio had a great kick right in the cock to Jeb Bush. Jeb Bush dealt him. Maybe I'll find the clip. But right. Jeb Bush tried to take a swipe and obviously rehearsed. Note carded, memorize this swipe at right. Rubio, and it just didn't go well at all.
No.
And Rubio just jiu-jitsued him and kicked him in the cunt.
Yeah.
It was just hilarious.
Do you remember when James Traficant threatened to kick someone in the crotch?
Oh, no.
There's
I don't remember
clip
that.
I've been saying I'm going to kick you in the crotch.
Oh, wow. I'm sad. I don't remember that.
You know, I was listening to Jeb Bush last night. To me, the best line of the whole evening, I'm sure you heard it. Did you hear him say, if you could find, I forget what it was I'm supposed to.
A big warm kiss.
I'm going to give you a big warm kiss.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Does he have the same gift of gab his fucking brother has? Because that's straight out of GW. It's creepier, though.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a warm kiss.
Yeah, there's something a little too Jared Fogle-like about
right.
Jeb Bush. There's a creepy-ish quality to him.
You said this was Jeb Bush's swan song.
I don't think he did
You think
well.
He's done.
I mean, because of the money that he's got and the name, I don't necessarily know that he's gonna get... You know, he'll bow out.
Did he?
But I think his chances, honestly, I maybe he'll come back, but
did
man.
Did he say, what was the line? Did he say, I'm going to give you a warm kiss on the mouth, or was it just a warm kiss? God,
I'll give him a warm kiss, I think is what he said. If you could find, like here's a headline. Jeb Bush turns in another lackluster debate performance,
right.
But his campaign manager says, he's going to stay in the race.
Oh, sure. Why not? Hey, this campaign manager is now, to save money, is only paid in warm kisses.
France is pissed off at Jeb Bush.
What?
For his obviously scripted line in that attack that he attempted on Rubio. The thing is, this some newspaper in Florida, I can't remember right now.
Wait, they have newspapers in Florida? Please.
A big newspaper wrote an op-ed saying, Rubio, do your job. How's about showing up in the Senate, maybe voting once in a while?
Yeah, it's Florida. There's plenty of shit that we don't
care
to be done here.
Yeah, we don't care if you're running for president and you don't like the Senate. He's came out and said, I don't like it. Things to move too slow. I don't like it. I don't like my job. Wait.
Well, I get why you don't like it. You're working on Florida. That's a whole fuck show, Florida. Yeah, there's a lot of work needs to be done for Florida. It's the worst state.
So when it was brought up, Jeb, in his awkward scripted attack, turned to Rubio and said, what, you guys in the Senate, you guys work like a French work week. Like what, 3 short days and you're out? And now the French are like, what are you talking about?
Oui, you are unfunny.
It's not even funny. That's not even a great line.
Well, and they do have a 5-day work. They do have a 35-hour work week in France. We do agree with them with that one.
Who? Wait, America, we really need to recalibrate our fucking brains. What would be so bad about having a 3-day work week if we could all survive?
You socialist communist taker.
We are just...
We're going to send Tent Nugent to drag you out of your desk.
Oh, yeah. Make some widgets. I want you to die dead, cold, and hungry making widgets. Welcome to America. Fuck you.
Yeah, it's a very, very odd, terrifying time right now because the
a warm kiss.
It's you know, and we throw the word hyperbolically around, fascist. But let's look at what a lot of these people on the right... want to do and look up the definition of fascism and sniff around history with some of these little fascisty regimes that have popped up, and a lot of this shit is very Taliban-ish,
right?
Very Tea Party, very the religion, the corporatocracy, fuck the poor.
What about all the nationalism and stuff?
That's terrifying.
America or fuck you, basically.
Right.
And the racism. I mean, the fucking racism's insane. The way the Tea Parties feel about immigration, I don't give a shit. That's straight up racist.
The xenophobia.
Oh, my God. They're talking about they want to put guns. Didn't somebody say they wanted to put guns at the border and shoot people trying to get in?
They want to stop legal immigration. Some of them want to stop. Like Lindsay, they're shitting on Lindsay and he's not enjoying it.
Wait,
for once.
Okay, I need confirmation that
it ain't like a Saturday night at the base kind of shitting on Lindsay. It's this is a not one that, you know, that he's not looking for. And but they're picking on him because Lindsay is one of the few voices of reasons who's like, we can't. You can't deport 11.
Right.
You can't launch.
You racist.
Yeah. Kasich, the same thing. Kasich came out swinging yesterday. I thought it was a little sad and a little forced. The night before, did we play the highlight? I don't know if we played the clip, but the night before, Kasich was at a rally and he's like, what the fuck is wrong with everybody?
Oh, yeah.
You can't deport 11 million people. You can't, this.
It doesn't work.
Right. You can't. Cancel Medicare like Ben Carson wants to get rid of it.
And he's a doctor. God, you know, what would it look like? Let's think about it just for a second. If we were going to, how many people are we deporting? 11 million?
Sure.
What would that look like?
And their kids, don't forget, they're U.S. citizen kids. They want to figure out a way to say, fuck that 14th Amendment when it comes to Mexican kids.
Oh, yeah. 11 million people.
Yeah.
I mean, that would look
It's impossible.
It would look like a fucking...
It's not possible.
It would be like a crime against humanity. It would be like genocide or something.
And they figured out how many billions it would cost to try to ship these people off.
And then what?
Right.
And then what? Once they get to the border of Mexico, put up a tent, congratulations, you're in Mexico now, 11 million people.
Well, that's why Romney, Mittens, came up in the last election. Remember, he came up with that... Somebody, he was the one of the voice of reason trying to say, look, we can't deport all these people. And they said, well, what are you going to do with them? And he said, well, we're going to get them to self-deport.
Oh, yes.
Remember that bullshit?
I'm going to pull the self-deport cord.
So he actually knew
that
it's impossible.
They all know.
Sure.
But they all know it's impossible. Donald Trump knows it's impossible.
Absolutely. I think absolutely, yeah. I think Trump has peaked, my opinion.
I agree with you.
I think
he's on the way out.
Yeah, I think it was kind of a sad performance from the Donald. His attacks that were fun as fuck before and kind of timely. Now it really does seem like it's a it really seems like it's just forced.
Right.
You know
who I think is going to be the nominee after watching or listening to that shit show? It's got to be Rubio.
Who, what?
I think it's going to be Marco Rubio. It's going to be the nominee.
Think?
I don't know why. Just, I don't know.
It's here the, is.
It's the, they're all such shitheads.
Here's John Kasich opening things up yesterday.
30 seconds. Good question, but I want to tell you, my great concern is that we are on the verge, perhaps, of picking someone who cannot do this job. I've watched to see people say that we should dismantle Medicare and Medicaid and leave our senior citizens out in the cold. I've heard them talk about deporting 10 or 11 people here from this country, out of this country, splitting families. I've heard about tax schemes that don't add up, that put our kids in a deeper hole than they are today.
Like Ben Carson's magical Bible flat tax, which has now changed.
Well, you know, if he promises to pray on it, maybe right. It'll be acceptable.
We need somebody who can lead. We need somebody who can balance budgets, cut taxes. And,
Governor?
You know, frankly, I did it in Washington and Ohio, and I will do it again in Washington if I'm president.
The reason this is sad is because the question was, what's your greatest weakness?
Right. What's he talking about now?
Right. He launched into a screed. Having a big gun in a debate, I think, or having a big line, you got to know when to use it.
Right.
It's like he was sitting there sweating.
Yes.
Just like, I can't wait till the camera's on me. You know, no matter what the question was. And it makes him look sad and pathetic.
Yeah, he took himself out of the moment.
Right.
He wasn't listening. And he fucking delivered a stupid line.
If he would have been something
so
charming,
right.
Something charming, something, you know, my greatest weakness is, I don't know.
Cunnilingus. Cunnilingus.
Yeah. I'm a dribbler, not a sprayer.
Oh,
I don't
yes.
know. I wish I could get more volume. I wish I could get more arc. So,
what's your biggest weakness? You know what it is? You're a fucking conservative asshole. That's what I think.
Well, and they all, none of them, these are the most profound narcissists on the planet.
What is
none of them could come up with one.
Nothing good. You know.
Here's Donald talking about something.
And Mexico's going to pay for the wall. Because Mexico, I love the Mexican people. I respect the Mexican leaders. But the leaders are much sharper, smarter, and more cunning than our leaders. And just to finish, people say, oh, how are you going to get Mexico to pay? A politician, other than the people on this stage, I don't want to insult, a politician cannot get them to pay. I can. We live in Mexico.
A politician cannot get them to pay. Later on,
they're so cunning, those Mexican leaders, more
right.
so than ours. Our leaders are stupid.
Here is the pathetic attempt at launching at Rubio by Jebediah James Earl Jones Bush.
Oh, my God.
About
it's douchey.
Rubio not working enough in the Senate. It's sad.
Because I'm a constituent of the senator, and I helped him, and I expected that he would do constituent service, which means that he shows up to work. He got endorsed by the Sun Sentinel because he was the most talented guy in the field. He's a gifted politician. But, Marco, when you signed up for this, this was a six-year term. And you should be showing up to work. I mean, literally, the Senate, what is it, like a French work week? You get like 3 days where you have to show up. You can campaign or just resign and let someone else take the job. There are a lot of people living paycheck to paycheck in Florida as well. They're looking for a senator that will fight for them each and every day. I get
Oh, my God.
He thought that line was going to, you know, he was going to get a good laugh with that French work week line, right? And
it was brr, brr. Well, here, I don't know what a French work week is, technically. I mean, I assume maybe it's shorter than American work week. It is a poor analogy. What do you think about what do you think about that joke?
I don't think by days, but I think by hours, it's definitely. They have a 35-hour work week.
Yeah, but the,
not four, and after that, you get overtime.
But,
and you get 6 weeks.
Oh, shit.
Mandated, paid.
Mandate.
Vacation. Paid.
Holy fuck.
Vacation. No, working at McDonald's.
That's amazing.
No matter what job you're doing.
Take it. Take your vacation.
Right.
To respond, right?
Okay. Now, this is awesome. I hate Rubio. He's just a slimy toad to me, but
yeah. Did he have a good line?
Okay. Well, it's interesting. Over the last few weeks, I've listened to Jeb as you've walked around the country and said that you're modeling your campaign after John McCain, that you're going to launch a furious comeback the way he did by fighting hard in New Hampshire and places like that, carrying your own bag at the airport. You know how many votes John McCain missed when he was carrying out that furious comeback that you're now modeling it under?
He wasn't my concern.
No, Jeb, I don't remember. Well, let me tell you, I don't remember you ever complaining about John McCain's vote record. The only reason why you're doing it now is because we're running for the same position and someone has convinced you that attacking me is going to help you.
Well, I've been.
Here's the bottom line. I'm not. My campaign is going to be about.
Now that's an applause line.
My God. Somebody, you know, like scrambled their way to climb their way to the top of the moral high ground.
But I mean, he's better, and he obviously also absolutely coached.
Yes.
On, okay, if Jeb comes at you, you know they got to keep all this shit in their head. They're like, if Jeb comes at you with the senator thing, you go to the McCain. If Carly comes at you, you go to this. If Trump comes at you, you go to this. They probably have, he memorized, and this is where the dummies come out.
The attacks.
I think Rubio's smart. I think he's slimy and reptilian.
It's scary.
But he's not dumb.
I found myself listening to him and getting into it just for a second. I mean, I forgot who he was for a second. He is scary. Maybe we don't. I don't want him to win. I hope some fucking.
The future of America, it's not going to be about attacking anyone else on this stage. I will continue to have tremendous admiration and respect for Governor Bush. I'm not running against Governor Bush. I'm not running against anyone on the stage. I'm running for president because there is no way we can elect Hillary Clinton to continue the policies of.
A lot of them. Just have anointed Hillary
as
the de facto nominee because a lot of them brought that up. Even Tubby.
Yes.
Tubby number one, Chris Christie, brought that up. He was like,
fucking dick.
Why are we going after each other when you've got a Marxist, a liar? You know, he just went after three. And what did he, something about, I think he called O'Malley a pessimist or something
pessimist.
And a pessimist. But the guy in the middle of the stage, in the lead in most polls nationwide, wears a hat that says Make America Great Again. Pessimist. Here's Ben Carson. Now,
This is the guy, this is the golden boy, right?
This is when...
He's number one.
When they brought out the kryptonite for Ben Carson... which is numbers. Ben Carson came out before and said, you know, it's going to be like the Bible, like tithing. It's going to be very simply. It's just a 10% flat tax kind of thing.
Yeah.
And everybody jumped on for that there's, they did the number crunching and they found out, first of all, people are pissed off. Normal people are pissed off that you're shoving your biblical bullshit, up our assholes.
Nobody wants that,
but it's just an analogy. Right. 10% flat tax across the board, everybody starves to death in a week kind of thing. I mean, they crunch the numbers and our economy would never sustain it. It's impossible. Your numbers don't work. Well, he changed it.
Oh, okay.
Now it's more like 14%.
Oh, well, good
and
for him.
Then there's this, and then there's this, and there's, let's see if he answers in this clip I have the, cause there's one point here where she says, but the numbers just don't work out. Well, you know, we're still looking into that.
Yeah. We're still looking into that.
I want to talk toxins.
Oh my God. We're coming back to you in a minute. Well, Becky's moving on.
Dr. Carson, let's talk.
A lot of whining.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Well, yeah, I want to talk now. You let him talk. You let him talk for so long. I want to talk.
About taxes. You have a flat tax plan of 10% flat taxes, and I've looked at it, and this is something that is very appealing to a lot of voters, but I've had a really tough time trying to make the math work on this. If you were to take a 10% tax with the numbers right now on total personal income, you're going to come in with bringing in $1.5 trillion. That is less than half of what we bring in right now. And by the way, it's going to leave us in a $2 trillion hole. So what analysis got you to the point where you think this will work?
Well, first of all, I didn't say that the rate would be 10%. I used the tithing analogy.
I understand okay. that, but if, but you, if rate, you look at the numbers, you probably rate, have to get to 28%.
The rate is going to be much closer to 15%.
15% still leaves you with a $1.1 trillion hole.
You also have to get rid of all the deductions and all the loopholes. You also have to do some strategic cutting in several places.
See, she was ready for his answer.
Oh, yes.
He said, well, it's more like 15. She said, well, she had those pesky numbers.
Oh, yeah.
And she said, well, okay, 15% still leaves you $1.3 trillion.
I thought she just did that in her head real quick.
I think they had that one.
Yeah, you're right.
Just remember, we have 645 federal agencies and sub-agencies. Mm-hmm. Anybody who tells me that we need every penny in every one of those is in a fantasy world.
Wait. What do you mean? Really? Okay, 640 agencies and sub-agencies to run this gigantic
370 million people.
We need a lot of people to run the country, don't we? I mean, don't we? Am I nuts?
I think it's kind of complex.
Why are people constantly saying, oh, government's too big? I'm like, how in the fuck?
Because that's their trope.
Have you walked outside? There's a shit ton of people. Go. What?
Obviously, government isn't big enough because there's potholes on the street everywhere. And our bridges are falling down.
There are people in tents on the sidewalk. We need more government.
Yeah, how is government big enough? Who's going to fix the pothole?
What country do these fuckfaces live in?
Who's going to rebuild the bridges?
Jesus. Jesus.
Seriously.
Yeah, I don't
know. Who does that?
I don't know. Who's going to fucking fix our infrastructure? There's a drought in California. You know what I mean? We got problems. God.
So also, we can stimulate the economy. That's going to be the real growth engine.
Oh, gross.
Stimulating the economy
Okay, I'm sorry, but it's nothing grosser than him saying stimulating the economy.
Yeah, you take an electric probe, shove it up his ass.
And then he's like, ooh, the growth
turn
engine.
Turn it on.
Ben Carson, you're a perv.
Tethered down
you'd
right now
cut,
with so many regulations.
You'd have to cut government by about 40% to make it work with a $1.1 trillion hole.
It's not true.
It is true. I did the math, dickhead.
You'd have to cut 40% to get $1.3 trillion to that. Well, that's not true. But it is true.
But then he can also say, we're still looking into that.
It's not true.
It is true. I looked at the numbers.
When we put all of the facts down, you'll be able to see that it's not true. It works out very well.
Dr. Carson, thank you.
When we put all the facts down, put them down, you'll be able to see that your numbers don't mean shit.
And by the way, welcome to the evil, evil liberal media checking facts and, asking questions.
Right.
What?
Hey, your numbers don't add up.
Yeah, stupid.
Oh, how dare you challenge me, woman?
We're in
person
the...
with a vagina.
Oh, yeah,
how dare
that's
you?
That's it. Yeah.
Why is there a woman questioning us?
What the fuck
I
do you want
Megyn
the press?
Kelly was it?
Yeah. What the fuck do they want the press to do? What the fuck is the press supposed to do?
Marco Rubio was called out on his personal finances. Apparently, he's foreclosed on a house recently. He's really shitty with his own. Like they found out he cashed in some something like a 401k or something, but he fucked it up.
Yeah,
because he ended up taking a loss.
Oh, okay.
On it. So the question, rightfully so, is, well, why should we trust you with the nation's finances when you can't even run your house?
Yeah.
But I'm not worried about my finances. I'm worried about the finances of everyday Americans who today are struggling in an economy that is not producing good-paying jobs while everything else costs more. And that's what this economy needs to be. That's what this debate needs to be about. This debate needs to be about the men and women across this country that are struggling on a daily basis to provide for their families the better future that we've always said this country's all about.
He's the scariest. Easy. That guy, the way he handled that
question.
So my
plan is to cut them all off from food and housing and clothing. Throw their kids out of class.
Oh, God.
That'll help them.
He is evil, man.
That's my plan.
That dude is so slick and he's so well-spoken. I mean, really, Ted Cruz, to me, has no chance. He sounds like a freak.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying...
Really? That he won or something?
Well, you know, I think it's just my anti-Ted Cruz bias. I just find him so loathsome and slimy, and nothing he says is true to me.
Yeah.
Like, he could hand me an apple and say, this is an apple, and I'd be like, I'm going to get this genetically tested because I ain't sure. I just don't believe it. It's just something smarmy about him.
The thing is, I know we're biased here. We're liberals. We're big fucking hippies or whatever. But honestly, It seems like we are picking our president from the worst group of people right. on the planet, on the right.
But I can also say I loathe Huckabee with the red hot burning fire of a star, but he's likable. Do you know what I mean? Like that's why he's, I think, yes. a little more scary because I'm glad he's gone completely batshit. And it isn't saying reasonable things because he's one of the more insidious ones. He's likable. Nice guy, Huckabee.
Oh, yes.
While he's Cosby-ing you and slipping right. his fingers in orifices but that you haven't
saves,
asked for.
He saves you money because if you... Huckabee never needs to call 911. He only needs to call people to come pick up the
morgue,
bodies.
Right.
Because he's fucking Jack fucking Bauer. He's a man.
I'll sit on him. Donald Trump.
Yes.
Explaining... why he's so much better than everybody else because super PACs suck. Now, here, this is funny. You know, Donald Trump comes out with a lot of this populist shit that Bernie Sanders is talking about. Super PACs. This campaign finance shit. We need to get a handle on this. And here's Donald Trump talking about how evil super PACs are.
Super PACs are a disaster. They're a scam. They cause dishonesty. And you better get rid of them. Because they are causing a lot of bad decisions to be made by some very good people. And I'm.
He means he's pointing around the, you know.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I think I paused it.
They're a big problem.
I think I paused it right as he's about to say, I'm not talking about people here. Hey. Maybe I am. Maybe I'm not. Whatever.
Pull my finger. what a buffoon. He's running for president. You got to be fucking kidding me.
But on this one, he's right. Yeah, Super PACs are the reason that a number.
Well, he's a super PAC for himself, right?
Right. These balls of vomit sitting on the stage, the reason that half of those assholes are there are because of super PACs, because they could never raise the money themselves.
They're big bags of shit.
From real people.
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean? Jim Gilmore absolutely. Doesn't have a super PAC.
Yeah.
He ain't up on that stage.
Wait, who is he?
There you go.
Jim Gilmore exactly. of the Gilmore Girls, I imagine.
But then you've got somebody like Ted Cruz, who's polling, you know, 5-6%.
God.
Who's going to be in it to win till the end because he's got a couple of billionaires that threw some pocket change at him.
And then you said you were talking about Huckabee and how he's likable, but you did refer to him as Tubby. And then you said he was smothering. Wait, what did you say?
I said he would sit on somebody
and smother them. You know, it makes me think that there's that odd fetish out there. You know, those people that like to
that like to have obese people sit on them. Yeah. Everything.
Made by some very good people. And I'm not blaming these folks, but I guess I could. Very good people are making very bad.
I was joking, but I mean, I'm not blaming these people, but I guess I could.
Fuck you guys.
Decisions right now. And if anything comes out of this whole thing with some of these nasty and ridiculous questions, I will tell you, you better get rid of the super PACs because they're causing a big problem with this country. Not only in dishonesty and what's going on, but also in a lot of bad decisions that are being made for the benefit of lobbyists and special interests.
Oh, fuck you.
He's right.
Right.
He's 100% right.
But, I mean...
But that's not what his party platform is.
Yes. God, why do they keep peppering him with these rude questions? Why? Why?
Why?
Yeah. Did you hear what he said? These rude, nasty. He called them nasty questions.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They all jumped on that. They all huddled up for that definite attack on the media. The media is so mean to Republicans that it doesn't hold the Democrats up to the standards that they do for us.
Yeah.
Ben Carson.
Fuck you, Ben.
Was challenged on his views on gay people, saying that he's not homophobic.
Right. Ben Carson, I'm jealous of him. It looks like he could nap anywhere, you know.
Right.
He's always looks like a guy who could sleep, you know.
I believe that our Constitution protects everybody, regardless of their sexual orientation or any other aspect.
Okay. So far, so good.
I also believe that marriage is between one man and one woman.
There we go.
And there is no reason that you can't be perfectly fair to the gay community. They shouldn't automatically assume that because you believe that marriage is between one man and one woman, that you are a homophobe.
Right. Biblical marriage.
Right.
At your churches can be between whatever you want to restrict it to. Down at the courthouse.
However, dick face.
Our government sponsored.
Yes.
Unions that right. they call marriages have to be available to everyone. And if you're against that,
right,
then you are a homophobe.
Wake up, sleepy.
That you are a homophobe. And this is one of the myths that the left perperpetrates on our society. Oh. And this is how they frighten people and get people to shut up. You know, that's what the PC culture is all about, and it's destroying this nation. And the fact of the matter is, we, the American people, are not each other's enemies. It's those people who are trying to divide us who are the enemies, and we...
Like,
what?
Turn to your left.
The fuck?
Turn to your right, Ben, and you'll see the people that are trying to divide us. The dude with the orange hair, a couple of... right next to you.
He literally is trying to divide people.
With 11
with a fucking wall!
Like 11 million of us he wants to carve out.
Yeah! He wants to put a wall between... That's divisive by nature. It's a fucking wall. It's a wall.
Yeah. And here's here we go. Here's Marco Rubio.
Oh God.
Talking about the.
Hey, you little fucking asshole!
Shut up. The mainstream media.
If I may just say, Mr. Trump, you had talked a little bit about Marco Rubio. I think you called him Mark Zuckerberg's personal senator because he was in favor of the H-1B.
I never said that.
So this was an erroneous article the whole way
He's
around?
He's got another gentleman in Florida who happens to be a very nice guy, but not...
My apologies. I'm sorry.
He's really doing some bad facts.
Since I've been mentioned, can I respond?
Yes, you may.
Okay. You know, the Democrats have the ultimate super...
Meanwhile... The post-debate fact-checking happened that Donald Trump, it's on his website. What he just said he never said
right,
is on his website that Marco Rubio is the personal senator of this guy.
Why? Listen, you got to stop with the fact-checking, okay, with the Republican debate, because it'll ruin everything.
I never said that. I never said that.
Wait, it's right here on.
Democrats have the ultimate super PAC. It's called the mainstream media. Whoever single day.
There it is. Listen to all the wet panties and soiled tighty whities that are in the audience now from him saying the Democrats have the ultimate super PAC, the mainstream media.
Fuck you.
I'll tell you why.
Listen to all those.
Oh, God. Wipes the cum off my face.
Shit, man. It's a big white orgy of shit.
Clinton went before a committee. She admitted she had sent emails to her family saying, hey, this attack in Benghazi.
Oh, Benghazi.
Here we
go.
Here we go. How did he steer this into Benghazi?
Exactly.
It's caused by Al-Qaeda-like elements.
Okay, I'm not going to play the rest of this because he goes on to say that the lamestream media is painting Hillary as having won that debate and having had a good week.
Right.
When... or not the debate, but the Benghazi hearing.
Oh, sure. Yeah. She won the hearing, right?
Oh, no. How can they say that when it was proven that she came out as a liar, Ryan? A liar. Her email to fucking Chelsea in the middle of the night that said this was an attack by Al-Qaeda. Obviously, she went the next morning and said, fuck the American people. I'm going to lie to them.
Listen, that fucking Ben Carson sitting there, and this reporter says, you said you're going to have a 10% tax rate. You said it. And then he goes, I never said that. But he said it.
It's actually 14%.
Oh, okay.
It's actually 14%.
Wake the fuck up. He sounds so fucking sleepy. He needs a nap.
I've got... Let's see what's his next one here. We have... Donald Trump
or a cup of coffee. Somebody bid give that Carson fucker a cup of coffee. God damn.
Your favorite subject, Ryan?
Sharks.
Guns.
Oh, okay.
And I do carry on occasion, sometimes a lot, but I like to be unpredictable so that people don't know exactly what I carry. unlike this country. Unlike our country, where we're totally predictable, and the enemy, whether it's ISIS or anybody else, they know exactly what we're doing because we have the wrong leadership. But
you notice, I mean, that's only a smattering. This was not a Trump crowd. Was just a smattering of applause.
But what does that mean, what he said? If you're an Al-Qaeda, if you're an ISIS, we know exactly what you're doing, and that's all that matters with this leadership.
I don't understand him. Like the pullout date.
Oh, yes. Squirt, squirt.
And we know that never works.
E.
But they didn't like the pullout date.
I need goggles.
Because that was like saying, that's telling the enemy the day we're leaving.
We can't tell them the day we're leaving. We can't tell them what we're doing.
Wrong leadership. But I feel that the gun-free zones, and, you know, when you say that, that's target practice for the sickos and for the mentally ill. That's target. They look around for gun-free zones.
The funny part, they just
cut to a wide shot.
I can't!
And the rest of the ninnies are kind of all looking forward, like, react to Trump, don't react to Trump. Except for Chris Christie, who I gotta give him credit. Chris Christie is leaned sideways over his podium and is like smiling at Donald Trump, like looking at him openly laughing.
I mean, I gotta tell you, I guess out of all those guys, Chris Christie, he seems like he gives zero fucks about what Donald Trump has to say, and
it's a Jersey thing.
Yeah. That's what it is. Right. There you go. Yeah. I mean, he's a total fucking shithead, Chris Christie.
Oh, yeah.
And we could give you another example. The Marines, the Army, these wonderful six soldiers that were killed. Two of them were among the most highly decorated. They weren't allowed on a military base to have guns, and somebody walked in and shot them, killed them. If they had guns, he wouldn't be around for...
They
citations.
By the way, they do have armed people, armed police on military bases.
Those people weren't armed.
They don't have everybody walking around with their AR strapped to their back on army bases. Yes, that's true. But it's not a gun-free zone, you asshole.
Right. But he's pandering. If there had been guns, it would have been different.
And show me one. One instance where somebody has said, somebody has a map that says, I found a gun-free zone. Let's go shoot some people.
Right. It's target practice for every, listen to how he marginalized the mentally ill. It's the way he said the mentally ill. Sickos.
Base to have guns, and somebody walked in and shot them, killed them. If they had guns, he wouldn't be around very long. I can tell you there wouldn't have been much damage. So I think gun-free zones are a catastrophe. They're a feeding frenzy for sick people.
Quit using the shark analogies. You think that's going to suck people like me in there? Fuck you, Trump. There is nothing this man hasn't said that everyone's racist, idiot, redneck uncle hasn't said sitting around the table after Thanksgiving. I mean, you sound so fucking stupid.
I wonder if this whole exchange is here, but Trump,
sickos!
Trump gets a little butthurt here.
Oh no!
After
Trump butt,
after Huckabee actually
smothered him,
tells us what he's wearing.
You know, as few questions I've got, the last one I need is to give him some more time. I love Donald Trump. He is a good man. I'm wearing a Trump tie tonight. Get over that one, okay?
Is that made in Mexico?
I don't know.
Is it made in China or Mexico?
I have
See now, like three or four of them are like, is that one from Mexico or China?
Turn that fucker over. Let me see what the label says. No. Did they?
Now here.
Damn it.
No, but listen to Trump.
By the way, such a nasty question.
Such a nasty question. Is that Mexico or China? Such a nasty question.
The internet is telling me you cannot carry a concealed weapon on a military base.
Concealed.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, but soldiers walk around there with.
But there are MPs, like, right? I mean, there's military police who are armed. It's just like anywhere else,
right,
on the planet. People aren't walking around with.
And do you know why people probably?
Oh, but no concealed carry is interesting.
You cannot carry, but you know why? Because that's where the government is, and our leaders and people that actually know about fucking guns, and they know that more guns equals less safe. That's got to be it. I don't want guns.
Such a nasty question. Oh. But thank you, Governor.
You're welcome.
Kasich laughing his ass off at Donald. This is a circus.
What a nasty question.
How dare they shit on the Democratic debate that was a civilized, issue-driven debate. And then when they talk about the Democratic debate, all they say is...
these people are monsters.
One of them, I think it was Christie, maybe it was Rubio, said, the Democrats... All they did, a two-hour debate, all it was here's all the free stuff we're going to give you.
Now, fuck you. Free stuff. Free stuff. Right. You know what you got to do to get free stuff? If these guys were in power, you'd have to own a gigantic corporation.
I seem to remember them talking a long time about Iran. To remember them talking a long time about the Mideast, about...
free stuff.
Jobs, income inequality,
about... more free stuff.
Oh, yeah. Free stuff.
Well, you want free
Donald
stuff?
Trump would be a better president every day of the week and twice on Sunday rather than Hillary. I've spent a lifetime in politics fighting the Clinton machine.
Please. Hand me that Trump dick for a second. Let me suck on it.
Well, and the funny thing is that Donald, now it's about him. He turns to the audience and does that classic Donald move where he's like, thank you.
Hey.
Thank you.
Hey.
Thank you.
That's a fucking idiot.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, my God. Why does he want to be president?
You want to talk about what we're going to be up against next year? I'm the only guy on this stage. You know, everybody has an only guy. I'm the only guy this. I'm the only guy that. Well, let me tell you one thing that I am the only guy. The only guy that has consistently fought the Clinton machine every election I was ever in over the past 26 years. And not only did I fight them, but I beat them. Somebody says I'm a fighter. Well, I want to know, did you win? Well, I did. And not only did I fight them and win, I live to tell about it, and I'm standing on this stage tonight as evidence of that.
I see.
Little Vince Foster.
Is that what that is?
I live to tell about it.
Oh, my God.
I fought the Clintons and lived. Listen, Donald's smiling.
Right. Well, I mean, if you're playing for a bunch of WND readers.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I mean,
it'd be worth something.
God. So it's just a bunch of shitheads, man.
That was Fuckabee.
Fuckabee. Smother fetishes.
They asked a question about fantasy football gambling. I don't even know why this one came up. I agree with Christy on this one.
Yeah, yeah.
But they asked a question about the fantasy football. Do you think it's gambling?
Right.
Should it be regulated?
Should it be
not allowed, like online gambling.
Sure.
And Jebediah James Earl Jones Bush, the only interesting thing he said all night was that he's 7-0 in his fantasy league.
Oh, yes. Thanks, dickhead. Thanks for the info.
After that, Christie loses his shit.
Right.
We have $19 trillion in debt. We have people out of work. We have ISIS and Al-Qaeda attacking us. And we're talking about fantasy football? Can we stop?
Ted Cruz next to him is applauding, by the way.
Can you say cheap shot? Oh, yeah. I mean, come the fuck on. That fat walrus saw that opening coming down the street.
Credit, because I think he sniffed the air.
Lay up.
And smelled the turds that were wafting, because earlier Ted Cruz had gone indignant about those questions.
Oh, yes.
You're asking him about this. You're asking him about this. Why don't you ask him about substance?
Bam!
You
know?
And he got a huge response from the audience.
Huge.
So I think that's where Chris Christie was like, I'm going to do this too.
Is he the most cunning of all the white dirtbag shit faces on the stage? Is he the most cunning?
There's a black shit face on the stage.
Oh, yes,
too.
That's right. I forgot. Maybe Rubio.
But there's nothing cunning about Ben Carson. There's nothing remotely cunning about
Ben
Carson.
What happened to, you know what's so
Rubio, funny? I would think, is slimy. I might give it to Christie.
Yeah, yeah. Are you missing? I mean, I don't know about you. I just got a little sad for a second. I was just thinking about how Rick Perry would fare on this stage and what that would be like. And that makes me sick.
I would do away with the education, commerce, and let's see. I can't. The third. Sorry. Oops.
Oh, and the last thing was Olivia Gondak. It says that I wanted to eat her pussy, Olivia Gondak. I've never said that in my life to her. I would never do that. I'm happily married. I've got more than enough to eat at home. Thank you very much.
About Rob Ford hopping for some.
I think Rob Ford would wipe the floor with these little pussies, don't you think?
Oh,
I mean,
sure.
Could you imagine? But I think Rob Ford would have problems like explaining the budget and stuff. That's where he's not good. I don't mean to make it about him, but my God, those clips we watched of him trying to explain. He was in support of some transportation bill that had to do with the subway.
Yeah.
Or something in Toronto. Wow.
To do what they're supposed to be doing, secure our borders, protect our people, and support American values and American families. We have
That's Chris Christie.
Oh, yeah. He wants to support American values and American families. Jack, 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 squirt, squirt, squirt. What the fuck are you talking about, you dipshit?
Right.
That is the... You empty-headed fuck.
So there you go. Again...
I didn't say anything the whole time.
Mostly the reviews for the kids table. I think Lindsey Graham and a lot of people were playing that moment that we jumped in on.
Oh, yes.
When he was like open fist closed open hand and closed fist or something like that.
Lindsey Graham, man, he's the best. He really is.
He's very entertaining. He's
I want to see him go toe-to-toe with Trump. A little scissor fest.
He's really out of his fucking mind.
Right.
You know, I mean, he wants to bomb everything.
Has he ever sword fought the Donald, Lindsey?
There's a fun bar game, which I will clean up because we are in mixed company. And
this is fuck, marry, kill.
Okay.
Lindsey's going to play F, marry, kill.
Okay.
And if I remember hearing this before, it's... Hillary.
Oh, yeah.
Carly Fiorina.
Okay.
Sarah Palin.
All right.
I might be wrong, but this is a...
Are you kidding?
No, this is a fuck, marry, kill. This is in a bar. He went out and partied the night before the debate. He was at a bar getting drunk, pouring shots for people.
Who?
Lindsey Graham.
Oh, my God.
Lindsey Graham in Colorado.
Amazing.
And this is at the bar.
I love it.
In mixed company and on television. So I'm going to call it date, marry, or make disappear forever.
Okay.
You guys know what the real thing is, right? You know what the real thing is, right?
I think I'm going to do a lot of the disappear forever.
First one usually rhymes with truck. Okay. So date, marry, or disappear forever. Hillary Clinton, Carly Fiorina, Sarah Palin.
Well, I got.
He's like, I'm glad I don't have to fuck one. I just have to date them. It doesn't mean I have to touch their nay-nays, right?
This is a fun game. I wish Lindsey Graham would do this all the time.
I didn't know we were going to do the Mormon thing here.
Date, marry, or make disappear forever. Take your time, Senator.
Some people are laughing their asses off camera, and so is Lindsey. So that's an inside joke. I didn't know we were going to do the Mormon thing.
We can't go beyond dating. That's as far as I'm going dating.
Who do you want to date? Do you want to date Hillary Clinton, Carly Fiorina, or Sarah Palin?
Okay.
No. You have to pick one. One of them you date, one of them you marry, and one of them you make disappear
Sarah
forever.
Sarah Palin. We'll go hunting on our first date.
Okay. Who are you marrying?
I got to marry one of the three?
Yeah. That's how it works. Keep up.
I got to really watch what I say here.
Okay, so it's date, marry, or make disappear forever. Hillary Clinton, Carly Fiorina, or Sarah Palin? And Sarah Palin.
Carly, because she's rich.
What, you're marrying her? Okay.
She could keep me in the life.
I like that. That's very practical.
I'm a very practical guy.
So that leaves Hillary Clinton that you want to make disappear forever.
No, I just... Is she rich?
I think so.
She said she was flat broke.
Oh, there it is. But there's Lindsey's F. Mary Kill.
Wow. I mean, Wait, who is he dating? Fiorino?
Sarah Palin.
Oh, I agree. Wait.
He said, we're going to go hunting on our first date together.
I'm going to date Sarah Palin.
We're going to go hunting for sailors. Oh, I mean...
What
would you do? Fuck, marry, kill.
It's easy. The same one you would do. I guarantee you. I'm going to date Sarah Palin. I'm going to marry Hillary, and I'm going to make disappear Carly Fiorina. Imagine, dude. You marry.
I think I'm dating Fiorina.
No.
Killing Palin.
No.
You got to sit and listen to Sarah Palin?
No, you date her. You know, let's do the real one. Fuck, marry, kill.
Oh, I would fuck Sarah Palin. I would Can we say we're going to K one? I mean, does that mean the little
that's
black?
That's the game.
The black van. So they
no.
Come?
That's the okay. game.
I will. I feel like Big Brother's listening or something.
We're not advocating it. But
list,
if we
man.
Were forced to choose, this is what you would say.
And
it's
I would
not that
I would fuck Sarah Palin, marry Hillary Clinton, and Carly Fiorino. I'm sorry. That's exactly it. I want to.
Interesting.
You know what? You marry Hillary Clinton. You're on the. I'm gonna go hang out with Bill.
You don't want to marry Sarah Palin?
No. What?
What?
Hang out with Trigger in Alaska?
Let's go shoot some wolves from a helicopter.
Hang out with a bunch of over testosterone assholes shooting guns, getting in fights when they go to white trash.
That's the girls. Those are the Palin girls.
Yeah. I mean, Sarah Palin. I mean, I don't mean to be, you know, whatever. She's clearly the most attractive among all those three. I mean, easy. Easy.
Yeah.
My choice isn't interesting. I think that's the mainstream choice. That's the lamestream choice. I tell you what, why can't we get Lindsey Graham host a show called F Mary Kill? Because it's fun. I love it.
I don't think he understood it.
He didn't. Think he was drunk?
Yeah, I don't think he really understood what was going on there. Lindsey Graham at the pre-debate. That was before the night before the debate.
Does he have a whole posse of people that just follow him on interviews and shit, and then he cracks jokes, and then they all laugh at him? Is he like the Leonardo DiCaprio of government?
I think he's funny.
I do, too.
I mean, it seems like heinous as his beliefs are, and he's never seen anything brown he didn't want to blow up. But
I keep forgetting about that. He's a hawk. He's a real war guy.
Oh my god, yeah.
Let's get out the uniforms.
Here's a little bit of Lindsey.
Senator Graham, you have said you believe that climate change is real. You've said you accept tax increases as part of a budget deal with Democrats. You've co-sponsored a Senate immigration bill providing a path to citizenship for those in the country illegally. Right. Are you in the wrong party's debate?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And that's what's sad is that well, first of all, let's pause for a moment and think of how terrifying the thought is.
President Lindsey Graham.
That Lindsey Graham is the voice of reason in this debate.
That is nuts. That is kind of
In crazy. Normal times, he would be the one everybody's pointing and laughing at. Look how out there he is, how crazy right-wing nutjobby he is. He's a rhino. He's a mincing liberal to these people. And that's what this debater just
does. Lindsey do a podcast? Moderator. Does he do a podcast or anything like that?
Podcast.
He'd be great. You
Maybe
don't...
a podcaster.
Oh, yeah. Listen, he would be great on a podcast. If you hosted a podcast.
I think he would.
What would you call
it?
It'd
be fun. Inside Lindsey Graham.
Inside Lindsey.
No, I think I'm trying to solve problems that somebody better solve. Now, you don't have to believe that climate change is real. I have been to the Antarctic. I've been to Alaska. I'm not a scientist, and I've got the grades to prove it. But I've talked to the climatologists of the world, and 90% of them are telling me that greenhouse gas effect is real.
That all 97% paid off by that Hussein Obama.
My God, doesn't it?
And Al Gore.
You listen to him, man. It's just like you can picture him taking a stroll through a garden. You know?
Oh, he should be sitting with a julep somewhere. Oh, yeah. Just
with a twirl and a parasol. Right. I mean, you know, he's a cool character, man. He's good.
We're heating up the planet. I just want a solution that would be good for the economy that doesn't destroy it.
Actually, Pataki, who's standing next to him, I think agrees. I think the other two idiots, Paiush and Santorum.
I mean, the one illogical thing he kind of says, he's like, he makes the case that our planet's in trouble because of climate change. Then he also says, I just want to figure out a way to save the planet where it doesn't destroy our business.
Right.
What happens if the planet gets destroyed, dickhead?
Well, that's where he's. Where he's horrible.
I want to fix an immigration system. I'm not going to tell you if you like your doctor, you can keep it. keep them. If you like your health care, you can keep it. I'm tired of telling people things that they want to hear that we know we're not going to do. We're not going to eliminate the corporate tax, but we can make it lower. We're going to fix immigration only if we work together. I want to secure the border because if we don't, we're going to get hurt and hit again. I want to fix
it. Oh, see, he throws him a little bone.
Oh, yes.
And now he tries to spin logic.
It's so evil.
But it drives him crazy. But they hate him.
There is no way. Don't you think Lindsey Graham, deep down inside Lindsey,
yes,
he is a lib?
Well, compared to now.
No, but I mean, really, I don't. Do you think he believes any of this shit? I mean, because like really listening to what he says, it's just so. I mean, you're right. He throws him a little bone. He puts a little blood in the water.
Right. Well, I think we should build just a wall. But
yeah,
broken visa system. I want to increase legal immigration because we're going to have a shortage of workers over time. As to the 11 million, I want to talk about fixing the problem. We're not going to deport 11 million people. And
Rhino, see, Rhino, yeah. Why not?
Maybe he's not such a genius.
I'll drive one or two.
We're not going to deport them. We're going to burn them.
Right. And this is the thing that I don't understand is he, these people like Lindsey and like, who was the one in the, Kasich are telling the truth. They're telling the truth. And they're hated for it
right.
in their own party. You're my guy. We got to get rid of the Mexicans.
How many illegal aliens you think are around here?
Probably a significant number. We live in impoverished, mixed ethnicity neighborhood with a lot of Hispanics and a lot of
what would happen?
And a lot of Asians.
Right. What would happen if all of a sudden these people were ripped from their homes and made to go to Mexico, Guatemala, or wherever the fuck they're from?
These people are working their asses off. Too,
yeah.
By the way, these aren't. None of these people here that are illegal are sitting on the porch waiting for the welfare check to dribble down upon them. It's just, it ain't happening. They're working their fucking asses off.
You see people, they get off that train, they run as fast as they can up those stairs. To try to catch their bus.
Right.
Their second bus.
Second, third bus that they have
to get
take.
To their shitty job. What?
They're legal citizen children, but we will deport
Right. He's saying they're legal citizen children. Their children are citizens. Donald Trump is like, I don't know. I'm looking into that. They're citizens. They are. It's just, it's in the Constitution.
It's in the Constitution.
They're citizens.
I love it. Yeah.
We're looking into that. Not everybody believes they are. Okay.
Look into it all you want, dickhead.
Right.
Look into it up your ass.
Not everybody believes they are.
They're legal citizen children, but we will deport felons. And those who stay will have to learn our language to stay.
There's the little bone.
Yeah.
I don't speak it well, but look how far I've come.
Senator,
end of the day, folks, I am trying to solve a problem and win an election. I'm tired of losing. Good God, look who we're running against. The number one candidate on the other side thought she was flat broke after her and her husband were in the White House for...
This is the same. They need to cycle their talking points because
the same fucking thing.
Every time he talks about Hillary, he says she thinks that she's not rich.
What, you have Benghazi, right?
Well, you've got emails. Benghazi.
No. I would have gone full Benghazi right there. I would have a Benghazi hammer. Bam.
The other side thought she was flat broke after her and her husband were in the White House for 8.
And doesn't he go for Bernie Sanders had his honeymoon in Moscow.
Explain this to me.
And never came back.
Okay.
Is his next joke.
Is that true? Did Bernie Bernie Madoff.
Bernie Sanders. They took his honeymoon to Soviet Union.
Bernie
sure.
Sanders. Is it true?
Sure.
Who the fuck would want to go there? It's cold.
I'd love to go to Russia. It's probably beautiful.
What?
Moscow is probably really fucking cool. Not in January.
I don't know.
I'm assuming they got married in a summer month.
You never saw Hunt for Red October?
I'll stay out of Minnesota. Then where was
in
or Oregon
actually,
or Washington
know.
Or wherever?
You have to admit, okay. I put the xenophobia aside and the idiocy aside. That is a pretty weird fucking place for somebody to go on their honeymoon. What, they didn't go to Puerto Vallarta, Moscow, to do what?
I don't know.
thought she was flat broke after her and her husband were in the White House for 8 years. The number two guy went to the Soviet Union on his honeymoon, and I don't think he ever came back.
Why would you deliver the same joke in two straight debates?
Because, And I, again, has Bernie Sanders addressed this? Is it true? I mean, is that bullshit or is it not? I mean, has he responded?
He came back. So that part's not true. He did come back.
But has he actually said, yes, I took my wife for our honeymoon. We went to Moscow. Because that is nuts. Why?
Why is that nuts?
Because it's not weird to you. Like if someone said to you, oh, yeah, we just got married. I'm going to Moscow for the honeymoon. You'd be like, really? Moscow? Really? You're going to Moscow?
I would say that's fucking cool.
Well, yeah, you might. I'm just saying.
I know somebody that went to Beijing for their honeymoon.
What?
They went to China for their
fucking
honeymoon.
China, man.
See, there you go.
Why didn't they go to North Korea? Somewhere nice.
Sanders went to the Soviet Union with his new wife in 1988. The trip was part of a diplomatic trip.
Well,
to the city of Yaroslavl.
The man was working
northwest of Moscow. At the time, he was mayor of Burlington. In his response. Graham.
He had a reason. He had like a fucking. I get why he was.
What?
I mean, he was on. He was part of a diplomatic thing, right?
Right.
It's not like he chose it out of a fucking catalog.
Well, he maybe took advantage. He's like, right. Why don't you come with me? I'm going to Russia.
Oh, look, we'll take.
We just got married. Come with. We'll go to Yaroslavl.
That's exactly what fucking happened. It's not like they were like, oh my god, I've always wanted to go to Russia.
Right.
this is so funny.
So there you go. That's what's
Thanks
going.
For clearing that up for me, because that is strange. I heard that and I was like, God, who the fuck would do that? I mean, it's nothing wrong with it. Obviously, it's just odd. Russia.
Here's the Daily Caller's version of it.
Oh, okay. Is this Tucker's little rag?
Senator Bernie Sanders admits he went to Yaroslavl, the Soviet Union, to establish a sister city program after he got married.
That sounds like
What's
work.
What's wrong with that?
That sounds like work. Again, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
How does it... He went to Russia and
real quickly before
anything?
I let you go and separating fact from gossip, Lindsey Graham made a joke last night on the debate stage in the early debate about the fact that he feels that you went on your honeymoon to the Soviet Union and you never returned. Did you go on your honeymoon?
Well, here's
to the Soviet
fact.
Union.
The fact is that I went to establish a sister city program with Yaroslavl, then in the Soviet Union, now an important city in Russia, which is still in existence today. The purpose of that trip was a sister city. Did it take place after my marriage? It did. I went with, I believe, 10 other people from the city of Burlington. So the purpose was to establish sister city. I believe that cities should establish relationships with cities and other countries around the world.
Stop explaining. You don't have to explain sister city program, Senator Sanders.
We get it, Bernie.
We're not fucking morons.
We totally get it.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Sister
city.
He has to explain it. Yeah. The fact that what a sister city is.
Oh,
to
my
these
God.
Words. So Lindsay, as guilty, even though he's funnier about it, but just as guilty at spinning bullshit as the rest of them.
Yeah, I mean, to establish a sister city. How scandalous.
Oh, God. So there's our wrap-up of the debate, ladies and gentlemen.
I think Lindsey Graham now, I think he's getting lazy. I think he knows he's not going to win. Do you think he really burns the midnight oil coming up with these speeches and these jokes?
I think he's still trying to see if he can polish up his pucker for the possible.
He's not polishing.
The leader to choose him as vice president.
Of his stature, he does not self-polish the pucker. Someone's polishing his pucker.
Somebody is polishing that pucker.
There's a pucker polisher in the old,
I don't know.
It's the 2016 Republican primary.
So there you go.
Oh, my God. It's so fucked up. You know, it's a shame. It could be. God damn it. I miss Rick Perry. And I miss. Oh, there's somebody else I was really missing.
Scott Walker?
Oh, yes. I was exactly.
That bland look.
Yeah. The dumb face.
It's like you turn to Scott Walker. It's like, what?
He's got loose duck face. It's very strange. Resting loose duck face.
So let's see what there. I guess there's some other shit going on. That was the fucking HuffPo
right
headline. We never even got off the HuffPo headline.
I tell you what, I reviewed yesterday's show. It was a very good show, tremendous, the best actually. But this Denny Hastert stuff is fucking insane.
Yeah,
I mean that is the. I don't think to me it's not a big enough story. I mean this is the Speaker of the House, and it's coming out that he was a fucking. Sandusky level monster.
Right.
It doesn't seem like anyone gives a shit.
Who, speaking of, might have more charges.
It's fucking crazy.
Sandusky, by the way. Jeez. Funny you mentioned that.
Oh, well, how would that even make a difference at this point? My God.
I guess they, yeah. I mean,
who's worse, him or Cosby? Hey, I guess Sandusky.
I mean, no, I mean, both is rape.
Sandusky got
right?
caught, you know, and.
Neither's
good.
Consensual.
I don't know.
Really?
Oh, horrible.
Those boys wanted it. The headline over at the Drudge Report says Jeb docs trash Rubio. 112 page. This is goes over to U.S. News and World Report.
World Report.
112 page internal document provided to the U.S. News includes. More dirt on Rubio, Iowa vote goals, and a January advertising plan. So somebody got a hold of Jeb's third quarter mission 2016 campaign briefing.
Yes.
Holy shit, all 112 pages you can go get at U.S. News and World Report. But it's interesting. It's I mean, now I kind of want to skim through this because it's an actual document from the Jebediah James Earl Jones Bush campaign staff that lists stuff about Rubio. It says one bullet point says Marco is a risky bet.
Is he a gambler?
It bullet points Rubio's misuse of state party credit cards, taxpayer funds, and ties to the scandal-tarred former congressman David Rivera, which I don't know
shit.
That much about. So I guess they're part of the thing is some of the ones they want to use to smear some of these other candidates. They're planning a $10.8 million advertising blitz.
Oh, is that a lot
to start in January? See, you know, people are saying they think he's slow rolling that
Jeb.
That it might not necessarily be his swan song that he's hovering in third, fourth place now. That because people are going to find out.
Wow.
That Ben Carson's a moron.
Jeez.
And that Donald Trump is a big, empty, paper, bloviating tiger.
God, listen to all this. How proud must you be to be a Republican these days? I mean, look at your great leaders.
That's what Kasich was crying about, right?
So fucking.
What happened to our party?
You know what happened to your party? You fucked it up.
Right.
You fucked it up. It's like someone came to a perfectly, you know, maybe kind of reasonable party. I mean, I kind of, they've always been assholes, but then just passed meth out.
Right.
And this is what, the meth party's still going.
So that's the headline over at the Drudge Report is this, these documents.
Fuck you.
That I guess they're going after Marco Rubio on the Jebediah James Earl Jones Bush campaign.
Yeah, what a, everyone's a shithead. Let me translate that for you.
You're right.
Good God.
God, I you know, there's a huge story going on right
huge.
Now that I don't know if we've got that much time, and I don't have the energy to go into right now, but it's this, we'll do it tomorrow.
Okay.
It's this shit about Bush.
Yes.
GW.
Fuck you.
The Bush the lesser.
Too many good dogs are getting out of business. Too many OBGYNs aren't able to practice their love with women all across this country.
Did GW write the warm kiss line for Jed?
Right. Oh, I wonder if I can find that one.
What?
That warm kiss.
Oh, my God. It's so fucking creepy.
So, this one says Ben Carson called out for blatant lying in GOP debate.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you know what this is? We can keep going on this one, then.
Okay.
Because this is that he was a, like, a, almost a spokesperson for this thing called Manatech, which is
Manatee.
Some nutritional supplement company.
Oh, okay.
And they're dubious because they've promoted, like, we can cure autism. We can cure cancer and shit.
It's like a protein powder?
Right. And they called him on it at the debate because, you know, that's all they do, the Republicans.
Bucky.
While they fillet the Democrats.
Oh, yes. Sucky.
He said, it's a lie. I was never connected to that company. And they're like, you're on their homepage.
Yeah.
But then he said, he goes, well, I did use and do use their product because I believe in it. But if they put me on the websites without my permission, and now that he's being called out, that it's that's an absolute.
They absolutely do have their permission.
That it's an absolute lie.
Well, big deal. No one's going to care. I mean, no one's going to care.
Right.
So what? He lied again. Again. Okay.
And here's him doing an infomercial for Manatech. I never was affiliated with them.
Oh, my fucking God. I mean, that, like, he should be out of the race.
But lying doesn't mean anything now to Republicans.
Who's voting for him now?
They squeal.
He's a lying little fuck.
That Hillary was caught lying to the American people.
They don't have my permission for me to be on the homepage of their website. Yes, I used it before. And I did an infomercial. I'm a doctor that did an infomercial for a protein powder that says
it
can cure autism. Yeah.
Some kind of crap.
You and Jenny McCarthy, fuck right off.
But this this thing for tomorrow is Bush, George Bush, and the shenanigans where he kind of didn't show up for his, quote, military service, unquote, with the National Guard, which there's more shenanigans there because the way it looks is this fucking, the squadron of the Texas Air National Guard.
Right.
Was kind of the cushy, warm, fluffy pillow where rich Texas white fuckwads were drafted to so they wouldn't have to go get shot at like the brown people in Nam. Yeah. Let's send the Negroes and the Mexicans and the poor white people. We're too good to send our boys over to Nam.
Yes.
Let's put them in the National Guard and have them protect Texas from the air.
God.
That him and a couple of other like blue blood Texas dickwads at the same time miraculously somehow passed the tests and made it into this air squadron. And then he never showed up. Well, you know, now they got this movie coming out.
Right.
With Robert Redford.
Okay.
And Cate Blanchett. Amazing actors.
Great actors. The both of them.
Robert Redford is playing Dan Rather.
Oh, cool.
And it's the story of how this CBS story.
Oh, yeah.
That came out with, as Dan Rather was involved
with. I remember this fucking thing.
Where they said, look, we've got these people who say George Bush, our current president at the time, never showed up for his military service. Not only did he get the cushy Texas National Guard.
He didn't do it.
He didn't fucking show up. And people faked the paperwork to say he was there. So somehow, I guess we're doing it now, but we'll do more of it tomorrow. But somehow they focused on one document and somebody said, these documents are fake because they didn't have that font in 1973 or something like that.
Oh my God.
And they tore the whole thing down.
Yeah.
Questioned everything. It all became about these documents and the administration.
They were fabricated.
And the media successfully attacked the documents, even though they were never proven to be fake.
Right.
They were never, and nobody has ever refuted these witnesses. It all just poof went away.
Yeah.
It poof went away.
And Dan Rather lost his job.
Dan Rather lost his fucking
job. Amazing.
So now they have a movie about this kind of scandal, and how the corporate media of CBS presented their starfish to the administration and did not back up their reporters at all. That's it. All right.
You're fired. We don't want this.
Questionable documents. That's it. We're out.
Oh, shit.
And now they made a movie about it.
I can't wait to see this.
And a lot of some of the quote mainstream media, it won't show.
Oh, they're afraid.
Won't show promos or won't show previews of this movie that's coming out now.
God. Robert Redford, a big old lib.
Right. So Dan Rather was on Rachel Maddow last night talking about it. And he said, it's not my movie. I had nothing to do with it. It's based on a book by somebody that was else around. He said, but it's 100% accurate.
Right. And she wanted to talk about it.
Who?
Maddow.
Yeah. Because it's coming out now about what a scandal it was that just got flushed down the toilet.
That's a big scandal.
Because they said, look, something shiny over here.
Our president lied about, I mean, like, there was fraud committed so he wouldn't have to go to cushy Militaryville, USA, or whatever the fuck it was.
What,
the Texas Air National Guard?
And questionable as to whether he should have even been allowed in that as a pilot because he didn't have the test scores to qualify.
Oh, shit.
So, I mean, you talk about privilege.
God, what don't we know? What don't we know about? Right. Do you ever think about that? I mean, oh my God.
Filthy white
what
iceberg.
A joke.
Yeah. So there's all, that's all, you know, this new movie that's coming out.
Wow.
And I was on, it might have been Daily Caller or something that. I was reading this morning about something. And they were talking about that a little bit in some of the comments.
Ugh.
The morons on the right. One of the
liberal
tinfoil hat. Yeah, the tinfoil hat is. Somebody in corporate America doesn't want Jeb Bush to be president. So this is conveniently coming out now to try to sully the besmirch, the lovely name of Bush, because Jeb now has decided that he still has the last name.
Right.
And he's desperately, you know, this week he met with his brother and his dad to try to...
The evil cabal.
To talk about, you know, the campaign and strategize. And
how are we
like
going to run this without saying your last name?
But now he's embracing it. He seems to think that going around saying, my brother kept us safe.
Yeah. I think that's the right call.
Embrace the Bush?
I think you have to embrace the Bush because he can't get rid of the Bush. That Bush ain't going anywhere. He might as well embrace the Bush.
Right.
Has no choice. God, that's a fucked up scandal, man.
I'll read. There's a giant screed on it, and we'll talk a little bit more about it tomorrow because it's really unbelievable. And this movie is kind of dredging things up again.
I remember when this happened. I remember when this happened, and all of a sudden, Dan Rather just lost his fucking job. Very strange.
Yeah, and it seems to be that. They brought up the swift boating of Kerry.
Right.
And the same kind of thing, where the accusations are enough to bring the whole thing down and not be founded.
Yeah.
There's still people, right-wing nutjobs, who are like, Kerry lied about being a war hero. Which is, it's not true.
Right.
It's not true.
He didn't lie. He was there,
it's
right?
It's not true, yeah.
Did he show up? Did anyone go in his place?
It's just not true. And it was just a lie put together by Karl Rove and his evil flying monkeys.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be true.
And it worked for
doesn't
enough,
matter.
Right, right.
Fuck it.
Not for the dummies.
Blech.
They hear it and it's their confirmation bias.
Right.
Exactly.
It's amazing.
You could tell them, the White House chef says that they get packages from Planned Parenthood every night, and I think Barack Obama is eating baby parts.
Oh, absolutely.
I think
he's
using baby parts.
And the best
parts.
Baby parts.
I knew it! not a moment of hesitation would some of these idiots believe it. Not an instant of disbelief.
Michelle batters and fries baby elbows for Barack Hussein Obama every Wednesday night.
God, I guess they're not, saying the debate was handled really well. Over at the HuffPo, there's a headline that says, 5 ways to make sure the CNBC debacle doesn't happen again.
What was wrong with it? I mean, why did they think they were too easy on these assholes?
Debate moderators never want to be the story. the next day, but that's unavoidable after Wednesday night's universally panned Republican debate. It wasn't just Republican candidates taking swipes at moderators on stage or conservative pundits slamming the CNBC trio on Twitter. Many mainstream journalists and political analysts have found the debate disjointed and unruly. It's kind of true.
But look who they're dealing with, though. These guys are nuts.
CNBC's moderators, John Harwood, Carl Quintanilla, and Becky Quick, drew criticism for interrupting candidate exchanges, asking gotcha or out-of-context questions for a debate on jobs and the economy, and appearing at times unprepared or dismissive.
Shit, man.
I didn't think they were great. To be honest with you.
But the math, that person, was it Becky Quick?
That was Becky Quick, yeah.
She refuted Ben Carson's bullshit tax plan.
Ted Lee Cruz.
I forgot about him for a second.
We had mentioned, here is...
His hair looked amazing, by the way. So slick, sure. Perfect.
Here is Ted...
Congressional Republicans, Democrats, and the White House are about to strike a compromise that would raise the debt limit, prevent a government shutdown, and calm financial markets that fear of another Washington-created crisis is on the way. Does your opposition to it show that you're not the kind of problem solver American voters want?
You know, let me say something at the outset. The questions that we've asked so far in this debate illustrate why the American people don't trust the media. This is not a cage match. And you look at the questions. Donald Trump, are you a comic book villain? Ben Carson, can you do math? John Kasich, will you insult two people over here? Marco Rubio, why don't you resign? Jeb Bush, why have your numbers fallen? How about talking about the substantive issues people care about?
He's trying really hard not to smile because he's like, oh, yes, yes.
Oh, my God.
I got them. I got them.
It's like he got there first.
Right.
You know, all of them must have had that speech in their back pocket ready to whip out.
Well, not Trump. You're never going to hear high ground like that from Trump.
No, that's true.
Does this count?
The moderator, I'll give him credit, he says... Do we get credit for this one? This question is exactly the substantive question you're saying you're not getting.
Yeah, what about what I just asked, dude?
And Carl, I'm not finished yet. The contrast with the Democratic debate, where every fawning question from the media was, which of you is more handsome and wise?
I think he had this ready, too.
Oh, yeah.
I think he had that ready.
Right.
But this is and a question about clear. The debt limit, which you have 30 seconds left to answer, should you choose to do so.
It's coffee. Let me be clear. The men and women on this stage have more ideas, more experience, more common sense than every participant in the Democratic debate. That debate reflected a debate between the Bolsheviks and the Mensheviks.
Oh, that was written for him.
There is something to learn from that. I mean, Ted Cruz won that little exchange, I guess.
Oh,
utterly, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
He didn't even entertain the possibility of answering the question.
He doesn't.
Nobody watching at home believes that any of the moderators has any intention of voting in a Republican primary. The questions that are being asked shouldn't be trying to get people to tear into each other. It should be, what are your substantive solutions to people?
I just want the record to reflect. I asked you about the debt limit, and I got no answer.
You want me to answer that question? I'm happy to answer the question, but let me tell you how the question...
I mean, you've got other candidates yelling. They're trying to jump in. You've got the moderators. This happened a bunch of times, so I think
it's amazing.
When people say that it kind of went off the rails a lot of times, I think it's kind of true because that didn't happen at Fox. It was the same lunatics at Fox on the same the same idiots.
But
on
that
stage.
That comes from a doesn't come from a different bias. You know, Fox asking these right wing nut jobs questions. I mean, they're trying to.
They were. I don't think Fox softballed them though.
Oh,
Megyn
really?
Kelly, don't you think? I mean,
I think that's true.
I'll give Fox credit that they did, except for the God question. Ugh. I mean, they did ask some difficult questions. But as they did of the Democrats on the Democratic debate, it wasn't who's the most handsome and who's the most.
Let me tell you how that.
We're moving on.
Let me tell you how
Senator
that.
Senator Paul, I've got a question for you.
So you don't actually want to hear the answer, John?
Senator Paul,
you don't want to hear the answer. You just want to hear the insult.
You used your time on something else, Senator Paul.
So you're not interested in an answer, John.
Good God!
It was little kids yelling.
Yeah, it's
you
ridiculous.
Used your time.
What about the debt limit?
You used your time to squeal about the questions. You get a minute. I'm sorry, you've used your minute, and now you want another minute.
Right.
To answer the question after you just pontificated and blew jizz out on the audience to the open mouth birds that
they
are
love
waiting
it, though,
there.
To be fair, they love it.
They did. You heard them.
They ate it the fuck up.
I think Cruz is the one to creepily watch. Really, creepy.
He's scary. Dude.
I think he's
slick back hair.
I think he's insidiously. Really setting himself up well.
Insidious.
I think end up.
That's a good word
in
for
the top
him.
Two or three.
Yeah.
and we'll see.
What a creep.
I guess that's about it for today, ladies and germs.
Yay.
It was the all debate show.
Right wing nut job.
We'll be back tomorrow to wrap up the week and play the top five songs of the week and all kinds of other fun shit.
That's right.
From 2 to 4 p.m. Pacific, 5 to 7 out on the Eastern Type Coast. We're here every goddamn weekday at those times for your ear holes live. If you want to listen to us after that as a podcast, download us at iTunes, at Stitcher. Paint us with your love.
Give us stars.
Give us stars. Give us thumbs up. Or go to crabdiving.com. Download us there. Don't forget all the other great stuff here on the network. Immediately following us in a couple of minutes, if you're listening live, is Pretty Misandry, a brand new one with the
hashtag
amazing Maggie Strong. Listen
kill
to that.
Kill all men.
In a couple of minutes. Then tonight, actually, a brand new Upper Decker, too.
Oh, yes.
A special Thursday edition.
The NBA preview.
NBA preview of the daily Upper Decker Sports Podcast tonight at 8 p.m. Pacific.
For sure, man.
11 out on the Eastern Type Coast. Thanks for listening to us. Don't forget, we're all over the social media. Bullshit, if you're going to buy anything, go through our hole at crabdiving.com/Amazon.
Ooh.
And buy that shit. We get a little tickle, a little, some money.
We get a taste.
Don't forget, Ryan's going to be doing some comedy. Find out where, find out when. Follow his Twitter stream at RatedRComedy. Go to his website, RatedRComedy.com.
Follow very funny Patrick Vial on Twitter at Vial Experience. Oh, so freaking Vial.
Back tomorrow, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Crab Diving. Catch the crabs on Facebook, facebook.com/crabdiving, and on Twitter and Instagram at crabdiving.